Good morning, it's Wednesday, September 9th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. Before Roger Marshall was a U.S. Senator, he was an obstetrician-gynecologist in western Kansas. He stopped practicing when he ran for Congress in 2016. Now, a new report from the New York Times shows Marshall sued approximately 700 of his patients over medical debt. More than 80 of them ended up being arrested over what they owed. We'll hear more on that story from the New York Times reporter who broke it after the news. Kansas officials are defending Bombardier's presence in the state following President Trump's threat to ban the Canadian aircraft manufacturer from the U.S. market, KMUW's Jennifer Anima reports.
In a post on his social media platform Truth Social, Trump said the aircraft company's products, quote, aren't good enough and should not be sold in the country. Several state officials and candidates have criticized the post, including prominent Republicans. In a post on Facebook, GOP Senator Roger Marshall said he has expressed concerns to the Oval Office and would fight to keep Bombardier's over 1,200 Kansas jobs. Republican gubernatorial candidate Ty Masterson, who was endorsed by Trump, told Cake TV he supports Trump's vision, but, quote, an all-out ban that puts Wichita jobs at risk is the wrong way to get there. Bombardier published a statement saying it values its partnership with American companies and hopes to continue to invest in its customers. For KMUW News, I'm Jennifer Anima.
The owner of the Crown Uptown Theater says he is set on tearing down the nearly 100-year-old venue. Michael Brown is a Tulsa businessman who's owned the theater since 2023. He spent more than half that time fighting the city to demolish the building after his plans to expand it were rejected. Several groups and property owners say they want to buy the building, but Brown says it's not for sale.
I'm not going to tell anyone in this country that they couldn't put down a formal purchase sale agreement with any number they choose and send it over. We'll look at it. If it outweighs what our lost development rights are for what we can do on that site, but I doubt it.
Last month, the Wichita City Council placed a demolition hold on the building through late January. Brown's appeal of that hold was unanimously overruled by the council Tuesday. A former Kansas Department of Corrections secretary wants the governor to commute the sentences of all inmates on death row. Zach Boblett of the Kansas News Service reports.
A delegation of Kansas corrections professionals, including a former cabinet secretary, delivered a letter to Governor Laura Kelly's office asking her to commute all death sentences to life in prison without parole. The group is not concerned with any specific case, but wants the governor to review five pending applications from death row inmates for clemency. Former Corrections Secretary Roger Werholtz says state-sanctioned executions should not happen.
I don't think that the state should be in the business of killing people.
Nine inmates have been sentenced to death in Kansas and remain on death row. Kansas reinstated the death penalty in the mid-1990s, but has not executed anyone since 1965. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
Meatpacking plant workers in southwest Kansas will receive wage increases because of a new union contract. This comes at a time when other beef plants are closing or reducing their hours. Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports.
Workers at the Dodge City National Beef Packing Plant reached a new five-year collective bargaining agreement with the company. There are more than 2,500 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 2 Union at the facility. The contract provides wage increases, comprehensive health care, and more time off, among other negotiations. This contract comes as some workers are having their hours cut due to a historically small beef herd nationwide, which has led to higher beef prices. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
New Canadian tariffs are going into effect this week, matching those put in place by the Trump administration. As Harvest Public Media's Hope Kerwin reports, the dairy industry is at the center of tensions between the two countries.
Powdered milk and whey are among the American dairy products facing added tariffs from Canada. The dairy supply chains between the two countries are tightly interwoven, according to Karen Geffert. She's chief policy officer for Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, which represents farms across the U.S. If sales to Canada decline, Geffert says it will take time for domestic milk processors to find a new buyer.
That backup of the supply chain is real, and that will have a negative effect on price.
Increased access for U.S. dairy exports has long been a sticking point in trade talks between the two countries. Geffert says farmers want to see more transparency in trade from Canada, but the primary goal is to get back to a stable trade relationship. I'm Hope Kerwin, Harvest Public Media.
Kansas drivers are among the most surveilled in the U.S., according to a national group tracking automated license plate readers. Plate readers, including flock cameras, create searchable databases that law enforcement agencies can use to track a vehicle's movements. DFLOC is an organization that encourages the public to map the location of these cameras and challenge their use. Analysis of public reports by DFLOC shows that Kansas is behind only Georgia when it comes to the number of license plate readers per capita. Current counts estimate there are 6 cameras for every 10,000 people living in Kansas. Wichita has broken the all-time record for most 100-degree days in September. Monday's high temperature reached 102 degrees, which was the 7th day this month that Wichita reached the triple digits. That broke the previous record of 6 days that was set in September of the year 2000. Yesterday's high topped triple digits as well, so the record keeps climbing. There's another heat advisory in effect today with a projected high temperature of 101 degrees. Tomorrow's temperature shouldn't be quite as hot with a projected high of 89 degrees. The superintendent of Andover Schools has announced plans to retire after this school year. Brett White has served as superintendent since 2017. He will remain in the role until June 30th while the Andover School Board begins a search for his successor. White has worked in Andover Schools since 2001 when he was hired as principal of Andover Middle School. As superintendent, White led Andover Schools through the pandemic and a tornado that heavily damaged Prairie Creek Elementary School. He also helped guide $188 million in facility improvements through a 2017 bond issue. Dozens of animals that were recovered from a mobile home in Emporia as part of an animal cruelty case last week are now available for adoption. Prairie Paws Animal Shelter in Emporia says 41 animals were recovered as part of the investigation. Several of the dogs are now listed on the shelter's website after recovering enough to be adopted. Emporia police arrested 2 people for animal cruelty and neglect. Prairie Paws has also raised more than $1,100 from an online fundraiser. Officials are urging people to adopt and to spay or neuter their animals. We'll be back after this.
September's Pint Night will be at Goldfinch, the new coffee and cocktail bar. Come join other KMUW listeners and staff for a laid-back evening of conversation and socialization. It's from 5:30 to 7 on Wednesday, September 16th, and Goldfinch is at 1640 East Waterman. See you there!
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. The New York Times broke a story Monday about Kansas Republican U.S. Senator Roger Marshall suing 700 of his patients for debts. 81 of them were arrested over what they owed. Marshall is an obstetrician-gynecologist. He's running for his second term in the U.S. Senate this fall against Democrat Adam Hamilton. New York Times health reporter Sarah Cliff reported the story. She joined KCUR's Up to Date and Steve Kraske to talk about Marshall.
Break this story down for us, Sarah. What did you learn about Kansas Senator Roger Marshall?
Yeah, so what we learned, which is based on Kansas court records, is that during his decades-long career as an obstetrician-gynecologist, Senator Marshall, then Dr. Marshall, filed at least 700 lawsuits against patients of his over outstanding medical debt. These were either through the medical practice he owned or under his own name. In 81 of those cases, we found evidence in the court records that there was an arrest. These are not arrests just over the debt. They are arrests over someone missing a court date related to their debt. I interviewed 8 patients who had faced lawsuits from Senator Marshall, and one of them even described spending 2 days in jail waiting for their son to be able to post bond. That couple was facing debt from an emergency hysterectomy that the wife had had 3 years earlier. And experts, you know, told me that this was pretty aggressive as far as medical debt collection goes. Hospitals and doctors have a wide array of options of how they want to collect outstanding bills, from forgiving the debt to pursuing something like arrests or wage garnishments. And it appears that Senator Marshall used the more aggressive tactics to recoup his outstanding debts.
I was going to ask you that, how unusual it is for doctors to go to court and actually have their patients arrested for not paying their bills. And you're saying going this far is a little unusual.
Yes, I spoke with two experts who study medical debt collection. I, as a reporter, have covered medical debt collection for over 15 years. This is the first time I've interviewed someone who spent multiple days in jail in a court case related to medical debt. That was new to me as a reporter in this space. As one expert told me, you know, a doctor's only obligation is to make payroll. They have to keep their business up and running. Beyond that, it's really up to them how they want to pursue debts. And there are some who say, we're not going to sue patients. There's too much headline risk. We don't feel right about it. But then there are others. And, you know, Senator Marshall is not the only one. There are other doctors and hospitals that do feel like these services were rendered, this debt is owed, the court dates have been missed, that these are appropriate steps to collect an outstanding debt.
Let's put a face on this story. You begin your story by talking about a rural Kansas resident named Joe Vasquez, Sarah. Tell us about Joe Vasquez and what happened to him.
Yeah, so Joe was at an Easter egg hunt with his children and grandchildren in 2007 when police pulled up to his home. The reason they were there is because he and his wife had missed a court date over a medical bill for $4,561, which was left over from an emergency hysterectomy that the wife had had 3 years earlier. Mm. So they are at this Easter party with family. The wife is handcuffed. Joe is not because he recently had arm surgery, has some stitches in his arm. They're taken to the police station and they spend two nights in jail until their son is able to borrow enough money to post bond to get them out. And, you know, the two of them said, look, we knew we owed the debt. We didn't have the money to pay. Joe was on disability. His wife worked in a manufacturing plant and they wanted to pay. They said they intended to pay. They just didn't have the money to pay that debt at the time.
Wow. The other 81 people involved here who also were arrested, did they have similar stories, Sarah?
They did. You know, I didn't speak with all of them, so I can't speak to all 81, but I did interview eight, including a few who were arrested. You know, another woman who is featured in the story, Misha Zimmerman, told me about having about $3,000 in debt left over from a C-section. And she was arrested three separate times over missing court dates related to that debt. Both her and Joe say, you know, they never received notice of these court dates. Court records indicate that a summons was sent to them. But in any case, the people I talk to, at least, generally describe themselves as middle class to poor, struggling to keep up with their bills and having to make a decision about, do I pay groceries? Do I pay my electric bill or do I pay this medical bill? And deciding to prioritize other essentials and then ending up, you know, with these collection actions taken against them.
You know, Sarah, this story is obviously wide-reaching. I'm wondering, how did you first hear about it? Because there are a lot of political reporters in Kansas who are covering this race, and this is the first time we've seen this story. And we're obviously not far away from a midterm election when Roger Marshall's on the ballot. How does something like this come out?
Yes, I received a tip that I should look at the Kansas City court records. One thing that surprised me is actually all of this was in public record. All these lawsuits mm-hmm. were searchable in Kansas's public court record system. And I received a tip. I'm not going to share from who, but suggesting that I look at these court records. And that's where this story started with me. There was a lot of information to kind of explore and unpack there.
Were you surprised something like this was sitting in plain public sight, if you will? I know it's a court record, but they are accessible by the public. Were you surprised it was just sitting out there and unreported up until now?
Yes, there have been a lot of stories, you know, including by myself about medical debt litigation that rely on court records. It appears that Kansas only recently started putting some of these records online, which is why maybe no one had taken a look at them quite yet. But yes, I was quite surprised that these records were out there publicly and had not been written about yet.
How has Senator Marshall reacted to your story?
Yeah, we sent him a list of detailed questions. He did not respond to those, but he did send us a statement saying that he was essentially a rural doctor trying to keep the lights on and that it was judges who issued these warrants, not the doctors. I will say we can see in court records that Senator Marshall's lawyers were requesting the warrants, that when a court date was missed, they were the ones going to the judge asking that a bench warrant be issued. I also was in contact with one of Senator Marshall's former lawyers who said that it was the lawyers who made the decisions about when to seek garnishments, arrests, warrants, And that one other thing we report about is an 18% interest rate in these cases. Senator Marshall's former lawyer said that that came from a contract that patients had signed with Dr. Marshall's office agreeing to that interest rate if they had an outstanding debt. But he has, you know, defended the practice as necessary to keep his office and his hospital open and make sure that they are, you know, running a successful business.
That was New York Times health reporter Sarah Cliff talking to Steve Kraske. There's more of their conversation in KCUR's Up to Date podcast. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.